Interested in learning how to better your company? Diversity is the key to solving many problems, but you should also be a good steward of the environment. Welcome to Tell Me Something Good About Retail, the podcast of The Retail Doctor. I'm your host, Bob Vibbs. We all have the ability to make a positive change in the world, even with few resources. On this episode, we'll be talking to Dax Da Silva, founder of POS company Lightspeed and author of the new book, Age of Union, about how to problem solve with your team, how to adapt in an ever-changing retail landscape, the need to do more to make the world a better place, and how to become a change maker. Oh, and after a banner year highlighted by a successful initial public offering on the Toronto Stock Exchange, Dax was just awarded Innovator of the Year. Take notes on this dynamic CEO and founder. Let's get going. Welcome, Dax.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
Absolutely. So who are you and what do you have to do with retail?
Yes, I'm the CEO of Lightspeed, the founder of a company that does software for independent retailers and restaurateurs. We do the complex segment of retail software. So we do a lot of inventory management, point of sale, analytics, basically the operating system for these businesses, for these small and medium-sized businesses.
Yeah, now I think it's interesting how you start out with Lightspeed because we have a shared connection through ASMC, but and you're a fan of Max. So how did that all start out to go from just you figuring out a POS system to how many employees you have there now around the world?
It's more than 800.
Yeah, congratulations. So how did you start out? How did you get the idea? I mean, it's not a normal thing for a smart guy to say, I'm going to go into the POS business, right?
So so we started in 2005 as Exilva Systems, and then became Lightspeed, which Lightspeed was always the product. So I'd done a number of retail oriented custom software solutions, starting from my teens, and a lot of them was with the Apple dealer ecosystem because I started working at an Apple developer apprenticing at 13 and then started working for the Apple dealerships at around 15. And so between Vancouver and where I'm from and Montreal, I did a lot of different custom solutions that did a lot of different functions within the retail, within those retail environments. And those environments were complex. They had multiple locations often. They had, diverse inventories, they had repair shops. And so when I built Lightspeed in 2005, I decided that I wanted to make sure Lightspeed was broad enough that it could handle the complexity of an Apple dealership, because that was our first few customers. Our first 100 to 150 customers were Apple dealerships, but I wanted to also make sure it could be adaptable and versatile to verticals that also had some of the same attributes, like, for example, bike or jewelry, which also have repair shops, or apparel that has lots of complex inventory and matrices and grids. So that's how that started. It started on the Mac as Mac software. And then, by 2013, we had migrated our solutions into the cloud, which enables things like omnichannel and e-commerce and connections to other systems on the web.
Nice. Well, I certainly want to find out more about how you built such a great company. But the thing that you're probably wanting to talk about today is this book, The Age of Union. And, when I was reading it, because I want to get people interested to go further, you talk about we're trying to get to this path of unseparation. So what is the goal of unseparation? And I know you had several pillars that if you can give me just a high view of that, that would be helpful.
Yeah, so Age of Union, the idea behind the book is really to ignite each individual person as a change maker. We each have a unique capacity to do something positive in our own way. And I think the overall sort of aim of the book is to realize that we actually have a lot of separation and a lot of division in the way that we experience the world. The pillars of the book, leadership, culture, spirituality, and nature, there's four pillars. You tend to think of these things as very separate, As humans, we love to put things into boxes. There's a lot of diversity and there's a lot of difference in the world, you know? So there's lots of different kinds of leaders. There's many different kinds of cultures. There's lots of types of spirituality and there's so much biodiversity in nature. And so Age of Union, the book is to sort of to start to see things more holistically, instead of looking at things through the lens of division, start to look at things, look at all this diversity through the lens of unity. And I think that that's part of what the answer is to some of the things that are real challenges that we see on the planet.
Well, that's what I appreciate about it. Let's face it, in the last week, we've heard about how the Amazon is on fire and it's easy to pick winners and losers and you need to do this and all of that. But really you're kind of a call to arms that it's up to us to take that mantle on and what we can do. For example, just in that instance, I mean, what would be some ideas you have about how we could support this great calamity that's going on, right?
Well, I think that the Amazon is a great example of how we have to look at things holistically. You know, why is land being cleared in the Amazon? The land is being cleared primarily, for animal agriculture, you know? And so human beings never ate three meals a day primarily of meat-based protein. You know, if you go back 50 years, 100 years, our insatiable desire for meat is causing us to develop land that was that is much needed wilderness, you know. And so the things are very connected. You know, the Amazon doesn't go on fire and doesn't get converted into agricultural land randomly. You know, it comes from the choices that we've made. And I think that change begins with our choices. And so that there is something that people can do on an individual basis that guide our choices towards things that are less destructive, less harmful, and more conscious of how we live on this planet and how future generations are going to experience this planet. So when you look at an issue like the Amazon and you decide you're going to blame a politician or the system, you will often find that is the symptom of what our daily behavior is, you know? And so that's why I think that, yes, there is a lot of responsibility on our leaders, but there's also a lot of responsibility on us as individuals. And that's how we can be change makers each and every day in the way that we act.
Yeah, I appreciate that at the end of the book, you have an awful lot of ways that we can take action and, you know, so, certainly more than post the clip on Facebook and people like it, like, makes me angry. Okay, next thing, right? You need them to actually take some initiative about it. And you talk about becoming a better listener in the book. Is this something that you mentor your employees about? And if so, how do you teach that or how do you share that?
Well, it's funny because people always think that the more you talk, the smarter people think you are. And I think it's really just the opposite. You know, the more you listen, I think the more people respect you, whether you're a leader or whether you're, a member of a team. And I think it's when you listen is when you deepen your knowledge of other people's perspectives and understandings. And that actually creates richer solutions. You know, when you listen to other people's perspectives, it shapes your own and it shapes the ultimate solution to maybe a challenging problem that not one person can solve with only their point of view. And so being a better listener, I think, actually is a way to be a better leader and also to have a richer outcome.
So would it be a way that we're in a meeting and there's, I don't know, I'm with five developers and we're all in the meeting with you and you're going to expect each one of them to talk? Is it like that, kind of like for speaking, or is it asking, you know, what did you hear him say and asking people to summarize it? I mean, listening is such a crucial skill. And I just think it's important to nail down what that looks like for you.
I find that at Lightspeed that given the opportunity, people are willing to share and willing to be pretty transparent and willing to, and that's why I try to be as well whenever possible. You know, we have Q&As that happen that are very candid. you know, and people are able to have forums and voice things. And I think that it can be difficult. It can be uncomfortable. It can be awkward. It can also be very enlightening.
Yeah.
And I think that that's how you make progress and that's how you move forward.
Well, you have to be open to it. You know, I mean, I appreciated reading your spiritual journey in the book. And I know you had quite a journey to choose these aspects of your spirituality, not necessarily what you grew up out there in Vancouver with, but that goes more than meditation, right? I mean, what would you first tell somebody starting to understand intention in particular? I mean, I think it's a huge, intention is a huge place that I want to work as I get older, because I think the intention we have when we walk into a business, right? If I walk into the store, it's the week of Christmas. I hate Christmas music. I hate customers. That energy goes right into the store. I absolutely believe that. But setting your intention and understanding that through spirituality is the key, right?
Well, I think that, like, as we spoke about earlier, what's important is action. But where does action come from? Action has to come, originally it has there's a seed of intention of what you intended to do. What was your intention? That becomes your thoughts. That becomes your, what you speak and what you write, and then eventually becomes your action. Right. And so, having an intention, because we tend to go through today's society very much on autopilot. We often don't think about the things that we do, as much as we should. And when you start to think about the things that we do and the things that we choose to do and the things we choose to buy, things we choose to eat, things we choose to, how we choose to speak or how we choose to engage, we can form our intention to have more compassion, to have more understanding, to have a broader scope. And sometimes it's not malicious that we are on autopilot. Sometimes we just didn't take the time to form intention. And once we have an intention that sort of considers not just myself, but also my community and also maybe the planet, then that intention, which is, you know, has a broader scope, will translate into actions that are more unified with the greater good. And that's why I think that intention is, you know, I think everybody will have a different spiritual journey. You know, there's nothing I can tell you that's gonna or anybody that's gonna prevent them from having their own path, right? But I think that ultimately spirituality is about having that intention of greater understanding and compassion of other living things, and then that also connects you with that higher purpose of giving and doing for the greater good of all things, you know. And so ultimately, spirituality is very connected to nature, and it's very connected to the greater purpose and the greater good of the actions that we make, being thoughtful, connected, and having intention.
Yeah, I think that it starts for me is just kind of observing myself. Well, that's interesting. Why did I say that? Or that's interesting. Why am I doing that? Doesn't mean you have to put value on it. Don't attach to it. Just when you suddenly realize that, you're like, well, why am I doing this? And the more you ask that question, I think, then you certainly realize, well, I really didn't set an intention. I'm just kind of going through the motions because this is what I do when I go to work, or this is what I do when I talk to my friends, right? And so then when you've got that, then I think to your point, you can say, well, is that serving me well? And is that in line with what my values are? Which is what I think I took from your
point. It's all about increasing your awareness, increasing your consciousness of the things that you do. And I think that that's growth. You know, that's personal growth. And we all collectively have to grow fast.
I'm with you.
if we want to see things not fill our news feeds with things that totally depress us, you know, that I think that there is, especially with the internet, there's a potential for us to be more conscious because there's so much information, and there's, you know, hopefully we get there.
Well, and to just to build on that, certainly being in the States with politics, and I imagine certainly in the UK, just the overabundance of fear and helplessness that we feel, and the one place that we can start off is in the way that we look at that and the things that we want to focus on. And that sounds easier than it is, I think. Yeah. But we got to start somewhere.
We'll explore more in just a bit, but first a quick word about Field Agent, our sponsor. Field Agent is an on-demand platform that furnishes businesses with in-store information, shopper insights, and services to drive product sales, all through the Field Agent mobile app, featuring a panel of over 1.5 million shoppers. In a matter of hours, you can get photos and data from stores everywhere. If you need in-store visibility and you need it fast, Field Agent is the solution for you. Visit www.fieldagent.net/retaildoctor for exclusive content. Now let's get back to it.
Also, you came out at an early age and write that LGBT members have a lot to offer due to having gone through the experience. I mean, is it just we understand diversity better, or is there more to it than that?
I think that we learn from an early age that that we're different. And then I think there's later a realization that that there is value in being different, and that we can bring value, and the difference can be a teacher. That the differences between one another shouldn't be sources of fear. They should be things that can be celebrated, elevated, that can benefit everyone, you know? And so that I think is really special about the community, is that because of how we grew up different, we can be teachers of the value of diversity. And there's no greater period where we've needed that, you know? And so, I heard somebody say something really interesting, the other day, which is, you know, in a lot of traditional indigenous communities, LGBTQ people, there was another term for them, two-spirited people. They really were the connecting glue in society. And they filled the gaps, you know, because they weren't raising their own children. They filled the gaps. They had special places in ceremony. They had special responsibility to the land and the water. And
they were revered, right? I mean, they were revered for that.
And they were revered. And so there is, I think, a special purpose for every kind of person. And I think that it's those differences that really allow, I think, us to all play a role in society, you know, and that's, I think, something that LGBTQ people, we have pride, but I think that we can also understand that we also have a great purpose.
And I think millennials certainly are able to understand that and have really been a sea change in how everybody's diversity is looked at, right? It's much bigger welcoming tent. It's a much bigger, this is you and this is me, and there's not a judgment necessarily coming from that. I think we're working towards that world. And it looks like when I follow you guys on Lightspeed on Instagram or on LinkedIn, you have diversity baked into your business.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, the original team was, all from the LGBTQ community. Obviously, the company quickly grew. We enlarged our circle, but I think that we have that in our DNA of respecting every different kinds of people. And valuing different kinds of voices and creating seats at the table for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. And what's been your biggest challenge in the past 3 years, and how'd you overcome that?
Well, I mean, Lightspeed is a company that's evolving continuously. You know, we went public this year. We've acquired many companies. Maintaining our company culture through all these different changes. I think those are some of the real challenges. And, I think that's part of it. A high growth company, comes with all of that, with all those growing pains. You know, you feel like you're in a new league every year because of the way that the company grows, and you have to live up to that. And so for me on a personal level, I have to almost redefine my job every year. What is my role for Lightspeed this year? You know, and I think that's an important thing to do.
Well, and not take it all on your back, right? Because so many founders, I think, burn out. They have the vision, they do it. Then there's the issue of I'm the one that can be trusted to do this, so I have to touch everything. And then suddenly, you know, they burn up and they don't realize, no, your number one thing once you get going is how do you get this other team behind you to see it and take you the next place, right?
For sure. And I think another, you know, what one of the questions that you had written down here was, what's the best advice you've ever received? Uh-huh. And the answer to that is, you can't have it all on your shoulders. You know, you have to, number one, I think you have to have spiritual growth that lets you unload some of that. And you have to have somewhere to draw from spiritually, but then you also have to have a team. You have to be able to share ownership. And I read about this in Age of Union as well. You have to be able to have a strong team that you can share ownership with. And then, you know, as the company goes to different levels every year, you're going to be outside of your comfort zone. And that's just something that, that I've had to embrace. And something that, that having that spiritual growth really helps with.
Yeah, I can imagine. How many retail accounts do you think you have, roughly?
Retail accounts. So, well, we have 51,000 merchants.
51,000 merchants, right? Yeah. So what would you tell a friend looking to go into retail right now? Like, we have this cool little place they want to open in Toronto, and they say, oh, come with me, we'll go to our local coffee house, and they start telling you about it. What would be like one or two things you would tell them?
Yeah. So I think the way the consumers shop has changed, the way they find out about and discover retail stores has completely, changed radically over the 14 years we've been around. And so I think that they'll need to adopt an omni-channel approach. You know, they'll have a physical presence. They'll have an online presence. They'll have a social media presence. They'll be engaging with their customers on all of these different channels. I think that we've seen our customers use different elements of the tools from Lightspeed. You know, whether it's the retail software plus the e-com software plus the loyalty platform plus innovative use of analytics plus doing pop-up shops. You know, like, are the best retailers that we've seen that are very modern have always created business models out of using our tools that have often surprise us with their freshness, with their you know, innovative application of technology and engagement and loyalty types of initiatives. And you know, opening multiple locations often is part of their strategy, and doing a rollout of pop-ups or locations. So there's a lot of different ways that you can approach retail. I think that being innovative, being cloud-based, so that you can move quickly and agile, there's so much possibility for you to stand out. You know, I think that's ultimately what you want to do, is you want your business model to be fresh and stand out. And thankfully, the tools are inexpensive and in the cloud now, so you have that kind of flexibility and you can be creative.
I should have expected you to say that, but I didn't expect you to say that. So that's really interesting that you would start with a technology first and then see what you can do with it. I like that. Instead of an afterthought, it has to start baked into the store.
I think because people are doing omni-channel and they have there's so much more on their shoulders in terms of all these channels they have to be present on, that there is a technology discussion sort of at the beginning. Yeah. Because their concept is going to get manifested and will succeed or fail. I mean, ultimately it'll succeed on fail whether they manage inventory correctly and they order the right thing for the right person, for the right moment, for the right location. But if you don't have technology running all of that and having all the channels activated, having the best concept in the world might not be success it deserves.
Could be a nightmare. And so tell me something good about retail. We're almost to the end of our time. One of my last questions I ask almost all of our guests, tell me something good about retail.
I think retail is those moments of delight. It's those moments it's like hunting, right? You know, hunting for that perfect item that makes you feel like you found the right fit for you. You found something that's special to you. I think there's still that element of excitement, right? Yeah. And I think that whether that's online, whether you find that on social, whether you're in a physical store. I think that the 3D experience in the physical store remains really special. I think that that is being rediscovered, and the retailers that do it well are the ones that are going to, I think, be the big names, the big brands of the future, the ones that, that have strong brand identity and physical presences, and then also are able to engage consumers when they are outside of the store, online or on social. So those are there's still an amazing place for innovation in physical retail, and it's just delighting that customer and allowing them to find that perfect item that brings them a lot of joy.
Yeah, I agree. So how can they find out more about Lightspeed and your book, Age of Union, Igniting the Changemaker?
Yeah, so lightspeedhq.com or lightspeedhq on any of the social handles, and ageofunion.com as well as on Instagram. So yeah, hope to connect with all of your listeners.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, that pretty much does it, and I want to thank my guest, Dax Da Silva. I'll tell you, one of the things that I really appreciated about our conversation was his ideas on inspiring change and becoming that change you want to see in the world to make a positive impact in the little things that we could do. And on the next episode of Tell Me Something Good About Retail, I'm going to speak to Heidi Owen West, a retail owner with 3 stores in New York, about working with vendors, how to end those business relationships when they aren't mutually beneficial, and how to handle the retail landscape of customer product knowledge. You won't want to miss it. And if you like what you heard today, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast service. I'm Bob Phibbs, the Retail Doctor. Thanks again for listening.
Tell Me Something Good About Retail is the podcast of The Retail Doctor. Visit RetailDoc.com to learn what makes Bob Phibbs the authority on brick-and-mortar retail across the world, who works with some of the biggest brands all the way down to the smallest mom-and-pops. As a listener of the Tell Me Something Good About Retail podcast, you can receive free information and guides when you visit RetailDoc.com and sign up for our exclusive weekly newsletter. For more information, to access the complete archives of past retail goodness, and to see about Bob speaking to your audience, please visit RetailDoc.com.